Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Alan Davis Show. And I'm Alan Davis, and I'm broadcasting live from my office here in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm a brand new show here on BBS Radio. I'm happy to be here, and I welcome all of you here. I've never done a show on BBS Radio before, so I want to introduce myself. Can I tell you who I am? I'm just an ordinary guy that wants to be on the radio. So I hooked up with BBS, and I'm live now. Okay, let's see. This shows, a lot of people might say it's a conspiracy theory show. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's you to decide. I'm just a guy that's just frustrated with the way this country is going right now. I have no idea what people are thinking. I mean, you know, we look at what's going on in the news every day, and it's so obvious that something's going on, and nobody, I'm talking nobody, can figure it out. Okay, so I thought, what subject should I talk about tonight? Should I talk about the economy? Should I talk about gay marriage? Should I talk about the banking collapse? What should I talk about? There's so many things to talk about right now. And so I just thought, you know what? You guys don't know who I am, and I'm going to be on this radio show every Thursday night for 1 hour. So I figured the best thing to do tonight is just to kind of give you a little taste of everything. So we're going to talk about the economy tonight. We're going to talk about the war in Iraq. We're going to talk about the war in Afghanistan. We're going to talk about NAFTA. We're going to talk about 9/11. We're going to talk about illegal immigration. We're going to talk about gay marriage. We're going to talk about our public school systems. We're going to talk about just about everything. And so you'll get a kind of taste of who I am and how I think. And you may agree with me, you may disagree with me. That's fine. If you disagree with me, call in and tell me what you think. If you agree with me, call in and tell me what you think. We've got call-in numbers. You can call in. The call-in numbers is area code 530-413-5411. That's 530-413-4511. You can call up. I'll take your calls anytime you want. You can also email me at thealandavisshow@gmail.com. That's thealandavisshow@gmail.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook at alandavisshow.com. So there's three ways you can get a hold of me. If you got any questions, if you got any comments, if you got comments you don't want to get on live on the phone with me, go ahead and just email me the comments. I'll get it that way. Anyway, so let's talk about the economy right now. Let's just start with the economy. Got to take a drink here. I'm in a business. Excuse me. Let's go back. I'm going to introduce myself. What I am is I'm a 45-year-old guy from Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm not LDS. Okay? I've lived in Utah most of my life. I've also lived in the South. I've lived in South Carolina for a while. I lived in Houston, Texas for a while. I've been in pretty much every I've been in every state in this country, including Hawaii and Alaska. I'm pretty familiar with all over the country. But most of my life I've lived here in Utah. So there's going to be a lot of things that I talk about on this show that's kind of about Utah. And so that's why, because I'm from Utah. I'm married. I have 6 children. I'm a small business owner. I own a small business here in Salt Lake. And just decided to do radio as a hobby. Anyway, let's start with this. In my business, I get asked about the economy a lot because of the type of business I am in. And I'm not going to say what my business is or anything like that because that has nothing to do with the show. But in my business, I get asked about the economy a lot. People are asking me, Alan, when's the economy coming back? Are we going to see some improvement? And I got to tell you guys, we're not going to see any improvement. Our economy is what our economy is right now. And you hear all these news stories about how the economy is coming back here and here. There is no way on this planet right now that our economy can get better. Because the only way our economy can get better is if I have a job, you have a job, if everybody has a job. when you got 10% unemployment, and I think that's a conservative figure, I think it's quite a bit higher than that, your economy's not going to get better. You know, you can stimulate Obama. He gives money to everybody to try to stimulate our economy. That's not going to do it. Okay, that's just welfare for the rich. All these road projects that they're doing out there, you know, maybe that worked back in the 30s when you're working on the road, you'd put 200 or 300 men to work. But now, what 200 or 300 men back in the 30s when they did this, 20 men are doing with the amount of equipment, technology we got right now. So that's not doing anything but welfare for the very rich. Flat is, where's our jobs coming from? That's the only way our economy is getting better, is if everybody's got jobs and everybody's spending. And everybody talks about the economy, it's not going to get better because there's no jobs and there's not going to be any jobs. Because all of our jobs are in Mexico. All of our jobs are in China. And everybody talks about education. Education's great. And I strive to get educated. I want my kids to become educated. But guess what? Not everybody's going to be educated. We need jobs for the educated. We need jobs for the uneducated. So basically, I have no idea where the jobs are coming from. Because technology is down right now. All of our manufacturing are down. We don't even know how to manufacture in this country anymore because we shipped all of our manufacturing jobs to Mexico and China. Okay? So that's how I feel about the economy. It's not getting better. It will not get better. Okay, let's see. The banking industry. That's part of the economy. The whole banking collapse is a joke. Everybody talks about how the mortgage industry brought down the banking industry and what brought down. Let's go right back to the jobs again. What happened? And I'm going to jump right into NAFTA right now. What happened to our country back in when Bush Sr. was in office as he started NAFTA? And when he started NAFTA, everything went south. All of our jobs started going south because they could hire people for half the money. No labor unions, no EPA, no OSHA, no MSHA, nothing. Down in Mexico, you get hurt on the job, you're fired. You get killed on the job, they won't even mop up the blood before they put someone else in there. You think they provide medical, dental for you? Hell no. Okay, that's why all these companies went to Mexico and China. And I'll tell you, companies, Levi. I've been wearing Levi jeans for 25 years. Now they're in Colombia and Mexico. I don't wear them anymore. These are American jobs down there. Well, these people have to work somewhere where they're not working anymore. Now they're working at McDonald's. They're working at Arby's. And they're not working a job that can raise a family. So we started struggling way back when. And I believe it was Clinton. He was the one that pushed Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to change the mortgage requirements. So anybody that can breathe and sign their name could buy a house. So everybody started buying houses. And that stimulated our economy. And back in the 90s, our economy was starting to feel the effects of NAFTA. It started feeling the effects real bad. So they stimulated our economy using the housing market. And it stimulated it. No, it overstimulated it. And everybody started making all kinds of money. The building material industry was on fire. Construction was going crazy. Everybody that could buy a house was buying a house. People that shouldn't buy a house was buying houses. Because some people should just rent. There's a certain amount of responsibility there is to owning a house. But everybody's buying a house. People with bad credit going in buying houses. Problem with that? But that doesn't work. You can't borrow money to someone with bad credit and then cry when they don't pay you back. Okay? That's it. So we have So we stimulated our economy using the housing market. And it was all great. Until it comes back to slap us in the butt. Because, like I said, you can't borrow people with bad credit, let them get into a house with zero money down, and expect and feel funny when they or feel bad when they don't pay you back. Guess what? People with bad credit don't pay you back. Okay, they have nothing invested in the house. They're the same as renters. So when things get tough, they don't make their payments. They don't care. They have nothing invested in the house. When I bought my first house, I believe I was 22 or 23 years old. I was making $7 an hour. I paid $31,000 for my house. Me and my wife saved our butts off. I think we had to have $1,800 or $1,900. I can't remember. It was maybe $2,000 to buy the house. I can't remember exactly what it was. But we saved our butts off. And that's a lot of money when you're making $7 an hour. And I don't care who you are. Okay, but we saved our money. Guess what? Things got tough, but we never lost our house. We had too much invested in it. It got no longer that way. Things got tough. People walked away from their houses. Guess what? Eventually, when you start borrowing people money with bad credit, they don't pay you back. Mortgage industry is going to collapse. And what happens when the mortgage industry collapses? Causes the banking system to collapse. And that's what we've seen. Okay, the banking industry has collapsed. But this is what I don't understand. Is everybody talks about the economy, talks about the banking system collapsing. The banking system did not collapse. Okay, the banking system did nothing more than consolidate. Because none of these houses went completely under. Or are they not houses, but banks went completely under? We're talking, they were just eaten up by bigger banks. So the big banks became mega huge banks. Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo, they're extremely large banks now. So they've just absorbed all these other banks, and we got fewer and fewer people running the banking industry. And it's not just in this country. This is worldwide. Because basically that's where we're going to. We're going to a worldwide economy. We're going to a new, you want to call it a new world order, we'll call it a new world order. But that's what we're going to right now. And they are consolidating the banking industry, just like they're consolidating every other industry out there. That's all that's happened. Okay? And they're doing it on my dime, and they're doing it on your dime. These people were out there. They knew back in the 90s that if they continued borrowing money the way they were borrowing money, that it was going to collapse these banks. But they were safe because they knew exactly what was going to happen. If we collapse, the taxpayers are going to bail us out. Taxpayers don't even have any money to bail you out, so we'll just print new money, borrow new money to bail these banks out. These banks have no fear of going under. They have no fear of losing. You think these banks that actually went under, the CEOs are broke on Skid Row somewhere? Hell no. These guys are sitting on the freaking beach with hundreds of millions of dollars. I'll quit my job today if I can quit with hundreds of millions of dollars in my pocket, but that's what happened. These CEOs have left with hundreds of millions of dollars in their pockets. Their banks have been turned over to bigger banks and consolidated, so you got fewer and fewer people running the banking industry. And I'll tell you what right now, that scares me. Okay, that really scares me because there is no competition. Okay, so now we talk about the banking industry. So that's how I feel about that. Okay, so we've talked about the economy. The economy's not getting better. The banking industry's collapsed, or not collapsed, but consolidated. Let's talk about the war in Iraq. And I'm going to tell you something. Everything I'm talking about today, I believe, is connected. Okay. From the mortgage industry, the economy we're in right today is not by accident. It's not something that just happened. The economy that we're in today is by design. Simple and easy. The banking industry we got now, the fewer and fewer big banks, is by design. The reason we're in Iraq right now, by design. We are not in Iraq to protect us from terrorism. Okay? We are in Iraq for oil. That's it. Okay? People talk about it's oil for profit. It's not oil for profit. These banks or these oil companies have so much money, they don't know what to do with all the money. Okay? It's not about the money. It's about control. Here's what they've got. You've got Asia, U.S., Europe, Africa. They're all kind of part of the team. But the people in the Middle East, they're not part of the team. But they happen to control, what, 65% of the world's oil? They cannot let someone, people that are not part of the team, control that much of the world's energy. It's not about money. It's about oil for power. They got to control the world's energy. And that's what we're doing in Iraq. That's what we're going to do when we go into Iran. We're going to go into Iran to control their oil. They say it's to protect us from terrorism, but let me see, 15 or 13 of the hijackers in 9/11 were Saudi Arabia, and we go into Iraq. Why didn't we go into Saudi Arabia? Well, I'll tell you why we didn't go into Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is part of the team, and they've been part of the team for 30 years, okay? They've already got their puppet governments in there. They need to put their puppet governments in Iran or in Iraq. You look at what happened in 1991 when we went into Iraq in 1991. The whole country was on side of the country, on the government. The government could have done anything they wanted in 1991 when they went in. Okay, we went in. I remember the day we went in. We went in January 15th, 1991. I know that it was exactly 1 month after my oldest daughter was born. She was born December 15, 1990. I got home from the hospital, smoking a big old cigar, listened to President Bush on there saying, 1 month from today, we're going into Iraq if they don't back out of Kuwait. So 1 month from that day, we went into Iraq. And we could have walked in. We pushed them out of Kuwait. And we could have walked all the way to Baghdad, unharmed, taken Saddam Hussein out, and walked away. So you wonder, why didn't we do it back then? I'm going to tell you, him going into Kuwait was nothing but a blessing for the United States. The United States and the people that really run the country, and it's not our government, okay, it's people with a lot more power than our government that run the country, needed to get in there to get control of the oil. So they used that as an excuse to go in there. And they were promised by Saddam Hussein that we were going to have the mother of all wars, but it turned into the mother of all surrenders. See, if they would have had the mother of all wars, they could have occupied the country, and they could have put their puppet government in back then. But guess what? They can't do that when it was a major surrender. Okay, that's all it was a big surrender. So we backed out before the job was done, and we simply poked him with a stick for, what, another 12 or 13 years? And we made up some story about weapons of mass destruction. And although we never found weapons of mass destruction, but we looked for, I don't know, 6 years, something like that, the weapons inspectors, never found any weapons of mass destruction. But they poked him with a stick. But you see, now they had to go back in there, but they had to occupy. But how are they going to occupy? Let's make up an enemy, okay? So they make up an enemy. The enemy they made up was terrorism, okay, which was made up, okay? I do believe there's terrorism out there, but it's not like it was, like they're telling you it is, okay? First thing, terrorism is a war tactic. It's not an enemy. Terrorism is a war. An enemy will never win. Terrorism will always be out there. They know that. It's the perfect enemy to have because the war will never be won, and they can continue on and continue on and continue on and spend all your money and blow up all these bombs and do everything they need to do and spend your taxpayers' dollars. But anyway, they needed to be able to go in there and occupy Iraq, so they invented the enemy of terrorism. Okay, and a lot of people probably think I'm a little bit crazy about the enemy of terrorism, but it is. If you guys look back, oh, crap. I would say the first thing when terrorism was introduced to us was Oklahoma City. Okay? And there was a big bomb went off, a truck full of manure and diesel fuel. I think 168 people were killed. And an hour after the bomb went off, they arrested Timothy McVeigh. And I believe Timothy McVeigh planted that truck there, and I believe Timothy McVeigh believes he did what he did. But that bomb was not big enough. There's too many experts that said that bomb couldn't have done what it did. Okay? And then they just automatically just knew who he was, and they caught him, and they paraded him in front of the American people. But as a result of that act of terrorism, the government passed the anti-terrorist bill. The government was the only people that benefited from that attack. They passed the anti-terrorism bill. And they introduced the American public to terrorism. On that day, we had I don't know about what happened in 89 or whatever when the bomb went off in the basement of the World Trade Center. That may have been terrorism. I don't know. I was a little young then. I wasn't paying attention. But I know Oklahoma City was nothing more than an introduction to terrorism to this country. That's all it was. Okay? And then they just sit there and talk about it, and they presented it to you in the news, and they talked about it, and they programmed the American people to be terrified of terrorism as a result of 9/11. They blamed it on Waco, Texas, but it wasn't Waco, Texas. It was the government that did Oklahoma City. Then we get 2001. I remember where I was sitting on 2001. I was in Page, Arizona in 2001 when I got the phone call that we had planes attacking the World Trade Center. Okay, you look at 9/11, and everybody talks about it being a conspiracy. People talk about it being it was a conspiracy. The only terrorist that day was our government. Okay, I'm sure there was other people involved, but the only people that benefited from 9/11 was our government. Our government got an open paycheck to spend as much money as they want, to do whatever they want anywhere in this world as long as they're going after terrorists. They've spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars since 9/11. I don't feel any more safe now than I did in 9/11 or before 9/11. Okay, the only thing that happened is we got the anti-terrorist bill turned into the Patriot Act. And as a result of the Patriot Act, we've given up freedoms. We've given up money like crazy. I mean, how many billions of dollars has gone to Iran or Iraq and Afghanistan has come back as huge profits for big corporations? We'll say Halliburton, Blackwater. There's so many huge corporations over there that are just banking it away on your money. Well, they're gaining control, putting their puppet governments in over in Iraq as a result of 9/11. On top of that, it's kind of funny, and this is a kind of a side story. I picked my son-in-law up at the airport a couple of weeks ago. He had a business trip. And I picked him up at the airport, brought him back to my home. My daughter was picking him up at my home. And while we were waiting there, he decided he wanted to go through his bag. So he goes, opens up his bag, and he sees this card in there. And they're telling him that they had searched his luggage. And it was no big deal. And everybody, oh, they searched my luggage. And they went through, I hope they didn't find my dirty underwear. Kind of a few little jokes about it like that. And it just shocks me that our country has come to the point where our government can search us without a search warrant, without permission. And we somehow feel good about it. We feel safe because our government has that right to do that in the airports. You go into an airport, you leave all your rights away. They strip search you. They want to go through your bags. They can do whatever. And if you don't like it, you're treated as a terrorist. And that's a crock of bull. Okay. But because of 9/11 and because the great job of marketing that they have done over the past 9 years now, people have come to accept that as a way of protecting us. Well, they're not protecting us or taking our freedoms away. They're taking your rights as Americans away. If they were trying to protect you from terrorism, they would shut down our southern borders. They're not going to shut down our southern borders because there's another agenda there. Okay, they would start searching every container that come into this country. They don't want any, they're afraid somebody's going to blow up a plane, but if I wanted to send a freaking bomb, I could write anybody's address in the United States on a freaking container and ship it right to their front door without it ever being checked. I think 1 in 100 containers in this country gets checked. Okay, they're not going to check the containers because they are not going to interfere with the flow of goods in and out of this country. The big corporations don't want to spend the money. They don't want to spend the time. They've got a logistics thing in place. Don't mess with our logistics. We are shipping our stuff across this country, into this country. Don't mess with that. go ahead and play with the guys at the airport, pretend you're, you know, mess with the citizens at the airport, let them feel like you're doing something, protect them from terrorism, but leave our stuff alone because we do not want to spend the money, the time, or anything for you to start checking our containers. So containers come into this country, who knows what are in containers. Okay, if you're going to smuggle something in this country, you don't have to try to smuggle it into the country using on a plane. Do it in a container. And then the southern borders. Okay, anybody can walk across our southern borders, okay? And once you get here, they don't do anything once you're in here because there's a whole other agenda there. I'll tell you that right now. So that's what I'm saying about 9/11. 9/11, in my opinion, was nothing more than a way to get the American public behind the government no matter what the government does. You look at Osama bin Laden. He was the big one, that the big evil person that was paraded in front of the American people in 2001, and they've kind of slowly stopped talking about him. Every once in a while you hear him being brought up in the news, every once in a while. But you've got Osama bin Laden out there. We will never, ever find Osama bin Laden. I think Osama bin Laden is lying right next to Jimmy Hoffa. Okay? Osama bin Laden is nothing more than a figurehead to show us. And here's the idiot thing about the American people. If they were to catch Osama bin Laden, then the American people would think, oh, we just won the war on terrorism, so it's over. And that's why we will never catch him, because the government knows that we can never cut off the head of terrorism. So he's always going to be out there as a figurehead of terrorism. Okay. I get a kick out of it. I sit in my office from time to time and just kind of play around on a computer. If I'm planning on a vacation or something like that, I'll get on Google and I'll on Google Earth. And I was thinking about going to New Zealand on vacation with my wife. And so I get over there and I Google New Zealand and I'm looking at the beaches and I'm looking at everything. And that is such a cool little toy that we got to play with. And the funny thing is Google Earth, that was a weapon that the government had probably 20 years ago. They had this whole world mapped out that could see everything from space. Now it's a toy that they've given us to play with. I don't care where in the planet there is. I can get on Google and I can look everywhere. So if that's a toy, if that technology is a toy that's been given to us to play with, what kind of technology do they got now? They could probably zero in on my office right now and listen to what I'm saying. Well, they could just listen to their other internet, but, you know, they could listen to me right here. They could listen to you right here. They've got the technology right now that they could do just about, I mean, the technology they got right now is actually, it's almost like magic. And they're telling me they can't find one guy with a diaper on his head running around in caves in Afghanistan. Well, guess what? They don't want to find that guy in Afghanistan. That guy's not in Afghanistan. They need to be constantly hunting for him to have a figurehead of terrorism so they can parade him in front of the American people. They just slowly forget about talking. They don't talk about him too much anymore, but everybody knows Osama bin Laden's still out there. Osama bin Laden is gone. He's been gone for a long time, and he's just a figurehead of terrorism. So the American people will feel that we got this big terrorist we're still looking for out there. Well, they're not looking for him. They may tell you they're looking for him. They're not looking for him. Okay? So just so you know that. But anyway, that's how I feel about 9/11. And that's how I feel about Iraq. That's how I feel about Oklahoma City. We touched base on illegal immigration earlier, why they don't shut the borders down. Well, I can tell you why they don't shut the borders down. They don't shut the borders down in south or our southern borders because they don't want to. Because they need the cheap labor. They want the cheap labor up here. And I'm telling you, there are multiple companies right here in Salt Lake that if you don't speak Spanish, you can't go to work there. I'll give the name of the company, but it was a company that I worked for when I first started working in the 80s. I'm 45 years old. I first started working in, I believe, 1981. I was 16 years old. But I think this was like 1985 or 1986. I worked for this company, and it was an entry-level job, and I run a grinder, and I grind, and I grind, and it was dirty work, and it was hard work. And me and a couple of my buddies worked there, and I think I worked there 6 or 8 or 9 months or a year, something like that, I don't know. And right now, that company still exists, still doing the same thing they did back then, with one difference. If you don't speak Spanish, you don't go to work there. And people say, oh, well, they can't find Americans to do the job. They've been finding Americans to do the job forever and ever and ever. That's an entry-level job. Young men would do it. My son can't get a job there. And my son is unemployed, by the way. He can't find a job there because he doesn't speak Spanish. But you got these people, and you cannot tell me everybody there is legal. They're not legal. Okay? That's it. And so we've got the illegal immigrants in here working our job. And what? So one of two things happen. One, we're shipping our jobs to South America, our manufacturing jobs. And the manufacturing jobs that are still here are now being done by illegal aliens. Okay? And not only the illegal aliens are doing our jobs, the thing that's so frustrating to me is they're collecting welfare. This is a Utah thing right now. Just here a couple of months ago, there was a thing called The List, where somebody from Department of Workforce Services, we'll call it the Utah Welfare Department because that's what it is, they hand out the food stamps, they hand out the housing, they hand out all the welfare. That's what they do. And somebody within their office turned over a list of 1,300 illegal aliens. They sent them to several of the news outlets. They sent it to the police department. They sent it to ICE and everything. And it was an uproar in this state. Everybody's talking about the list. And they start hunting these people that come up with this list like they were vigilantes. And they found them. There were two ladies. They both lost their jobs because they breached security. And do you think the governor, do you think anybody did anything to go after the people on the list? These illegal people, not only are they in our country illegal, okay, and they are, but they are collecting food stamps, and they are collecting Medicare, and they're collecting housing. They're on the WIC programs. So they're working, a lot of them working under the table. They're collecting food stamps. They're getting free medical. They are getting WIC. It frustrates me as an American. I'm sorry. The unfortunate thing is, people hear me saying this, automatically, I'm a racist because I don't like that. You know what? I'm not a racist, and I don't give a rat's butt what anybody thinks, okay? But I am tired of giving my hard-earned money to illegals. Illegal is illegal. They're not undocumented workers, okay? If I rob a bank, am I making an undocumented withdrawal? No, I am not making an undocumented withdrawal. I'm robbing a bank. If you are in this country illegally, you are breaking the law. You're not undocumented. You need to go to jail. But no, we are so politically correct, we're going to hurt somebody's feelings, or we're not going to be fair to somebody, that we just leave an open road for these people to come up here, take our jobs, take our social services, and drain our freaking country dry. Look at California. They can barely sustain themselves anymore, and Utah coming close to it. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not their only agenda. They have an agenda. Okay, and I'm going to tell you what their agenda is. Their agenda is to create chaos. If you look on the census that we just got, it literally asks you, are you Latino? Are you Hispanic? And that's separate from your ethnicity. It's asks you if you are Latino, if you are Hispanic. Okay? They're asking you that on every government form, they ask you that. Why is that? I'm going to tell you. It's not to try to count how many illegals are in this country, but it is trying to track their progress. Because they know, and they're close to what they need to be. You get X amount of people in this country, you're going to have problems. Here's the difference between the immigration now, the illegal immigration now, and the immigration from the early 1900s and the immigration, the European immigration. Okay? People came to this country. They integrated. It was a melting pot. They became American. These people coming up from South America, these Mexicans that have come up here, are not becoming American. They are Mexicans. They are trying to turn this country into Mexico. Okay? And we are letting them do it. We are letting our schools struggle. Our schools now have to teach in Spanish. Our schools are there's certain school districts in this area, certain schools in this area, where you've got 80% free lunch, 80% Latinos, 80% free lunch, more free programs for these Latinos. Okay. So we're teaching them in Spanish. You can go get cable TV, all Spanish stations. You can come to this country now. We are building a complete separate infrastructure for Latino people. You can come here, live here, never learn a language, and live as a Mexican in this country, just like it was Mexico. And I'm going to tell you, it's all great when the economy's real good, and the economy's great. For the past 25 years, they've allowed this to happen, and they've allowed it to happen, and everybody's blaming Obama, they blame Bush, they blame Clinton before that, but they've continued to allow illegal immigration in this country. Every president, okay? They haven't stopped it because they're trying. They have an agenda. I'm going to tell you what their agenda is. Our economy, the way it is also an agenda. Our society that we live in right now is by design. We were supposed to have a 10 and 12 and 15, and we're going to have a worse unemployment rate. We are going to go into a depression. Okay, and as we go into a depression, as our economy gets worse, Americans are no longer going to stand by and watch Mexicans work them jobs, grinding on those the jobs that I had, even if it is low-paying jobs, and they're going to start bumping heads. Because I'm going to tell you, nowhere on this planet, at any given time, anywhere on this planet, have you had two totally separate cultures live side by side and not fight. Okay, I'm going to tell you, this country is a perfect example of different cultures coming together as one culture and thriving. That's why we're the biggest, richest, most powerful country on the planet, is because cultures came together as one. We are no longer doing that with the Latino population. Okay, we're not doing that with the Mexicans. They're coming up and they're Mexican. They are staying Mexican. They are not learning our language. They are not doing anything. We are now having to learn their language. Okay? And it's causing problems. And as unemployment and as our economy deteriorates even further, there is going to be more and more bumping heads between Mexicans and Americans. And the sad thing, there's a lot of hardworking Americans that are Latino that are going to be pinned in with the illegals that are here. And it's going to be a fight, and it's going to be race wars. And your government wants that. Because with chaos, you have to bring calm to chaos. That's it. And how are they going to do that? Oh, guess what? They are going to start making laws, taking rights away, rights we're used to, rights such as your gun rights, stuff like that. They're going to start controlling your movements, and we're going to allow it because it's going to be for our best good. It's going to be to protect us, just like we allow the government to go through our bags and almost strip search us at the airport because it's to protect us. Okay, they're creating a society that they need to protect us in, so we're going to welcome their protections. But their protections isn't really protections, it's control. Okay? That's the agenda. That's why they haven't stopped it. That's why they keep feeding the monster. That's why they don't shut down the borders. That's why anybody that comes over here, they give them everything. And I'm getting sick of it. But I have no choice because I live in the same country that you live in, and that's what's going to happen, okay? And it's all tied to everything's tied together here. Another thing I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to make a lot of people mad on this one, okay? Gay marriage. Gay marriage is a big one, okay? I look at gay marriage as, and now I'm also a homophobe. On the last little rant I had, I've become racist. Now I'm going to become a homophobe. I don't care what people think, okay? If you disagree with me, pick up the phone, give me a call. The phone numbers are 530-413-4511. That's 530-413-4511. You can also email me at thealandavisshow@gmail.com. That's thealandavisshow@gmail.com. And I'll answer your questions that way. Or interesting. But anyway, we talk about gay marriage. Gay marriage to me right now is the same that women's lib was back 40 years ago. I think we've spent the past 20 years getting people used to gay marriage, getting people used to homosexuality. because our young people have a total different thought of homosexuality than older people, okay? And they've done this so that they can introduce gay marriage. And we will have gay marriage in every state in this country. I have no choice because the young people are going to vote it in because our young people have been programmed to believe that two men and two women together are the same as a man and a woman together, which they're not, okay? It's insane. I can't believe people even think that, okay? But what they've done, like I say, I think it's the next step. I think it's similar to Women's Lib. I'm going to tell you what happened in Women's Lib. Okay, Women's Lib 40 years ago, they sit there and stored the pot. As soon as TV came available, the women were not treated as equals, this and that kind of this, and then they started Women's Lib. And all that did back then was put women to work. Okay, it took women out of the work home, out of the home, and into the workforce. The benefit to big corporations, who really run this country, by the way, and our government, is they no longer had to pay a man a fair wage. They only had to pay him like two-thirds of a fair wage, of a living wage, because the wife now went to work and made up the difference. And at first, there was a lot of people had a lot of extra money, but not anymore. You got a damn good job. Your wife has to work, or you're not going to make ends meet. Okay, but what was the result of that? I'm going to tell you what the result of that was. The deterioration of the family, which was a deterioration of our society. Okay? Now, what do I mean by the deterioration of our families and our society is because when that happened, women went to work. When you have a man working, going to work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, and a woman going to work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, they're dealing with different people. They're talking to different people. And they're no longer working together. They're almost working separate in the same house. And about the same time they did Women's Lib, they got rid of the divorce laws, okay? They started allowing anybody to get a divorce because it used to be you had to have a reason to get a divorce. You couldn't get one. But they changed it to a no-fault divorce law, and divorces became rampant. When the divorces became rampant and it became common, it used to be, if you were the divorced person, you were the kind of the odd man out, and you were the one that there's that divorced person over there. Now, if you're the one that's still married and it's never been divorced, you're the odd man out. You're the strange one. Everybody's been divorced. So our families are destroyed. Our kids are going through more crap right now than they've ever had to go through. I mean, kids have got to deal with visiting dad, visiting mom, dad's new girlfriend, mom's new boyfriend, dad's new wife, dad's new family. Does dad got money to help me do this? Where's dad when I need him? Who's this guy that mom married? He's not my dad. Their families are destroyed. I mean, who's this guy? My brother, he's my stepbrother. I don't know who this guy is. I mean, the kids have so much more to deal with than they ever had to before, and they're reacting. Guess what? We don't have to worry about it because we'll just give them a pill. We call it ADHD. When all these kids are reacting to their environments that we have given them, because our society has just gone crazy, okay? We give them a pill. We call them ADHD, and we give them a pill, okay? But anyway, that was a deterioration of our family and part of a major deterioration in our society. Right now, when we get on to gay marriage, that's the next step in the deterioration of our society, okay? Because now we're not dealing with mom and dad being divorced. But we're dealing with dad and dad being divorced and mom being divorced. And we're dealing with mom and dad's divorced and dad and his new wife and mom and her new wife. Okay. We're deteriorating society even further. Okay. And that's what this is about. Okay. It's nothing more than deteriorating our society. So they spend 20 years in TV, in media, in news, in schools, teaching the young people, because they're not trying to teach me, because they're never going to convince me that homosexuality is anything more than a perversion. And if there's any homosexuals out there that want to call up, my number is 530-413-4511. That's 530-413-4511. And discuss this. I would be happy to discuss it. But there's nobody out there that can tell me, convince me in any way that, convince anybody in any way that homosexuality is anything more than a perversion. Just like pedophilia is a perversion, just like bestiality is a perversion, just like BDSM is a perversion. There's all kinds of perversion. I think everybody's got some little quirk that's a perversion, okay? But it is just out of perversion. And you know what? I could care less about your perversion. If you have a perversion and you have a partner that also has that same perversion, you can go in the bedroom and crank it up, have a good time. I don't care. That's none of my business because that's your bedroom. But don't parade down my streets half lewd, half naked, screaming, "We're queer, we're here, get used to it." Because that's, if I was to have a straight pride parade doing the same thing, I would be arrested. Okay? Anyway, so now we're going off on that. Okay. Gay marriage is nothing more than a perversion. Bar none. Anybody can say that's my opinion on that. Okay, what else can we talk about here? That covered about everything. Our public school systems, that's another thing that's just in the toilet right now. We have the richest country in the world. We just spent hundreds, I mean, what was it? The initial bailout for the banks was $750 billion. And if you really look at the real numbers, it's like, let's see, $1.5 trillion bailing out these banks. Welfare to the rich is what we'll call it. Okay. But we're letting our school systems fail. What the hell's going on? Okay, we just spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in Iraq, and we let our school systems fail. We should have the best school systems on the planet, and we don't. Okay, that is not any other reason but by design. They are deliberately letting our school systems fail. And I'll tell you for why. Because we are going to a corporate-owned school system. We are going to a publicly funded, corporate-owned school system. We'll call it a school system, or we'll call it indoctrination centers, which pretty much our public school system is now anyway. But that's what we're going to. People don't realize it. We are popping charter schools up, especially here in Utah, all over the place. I am talking everywhere, public school system. I mean, charter schools are popping up. And all these young mothers are just thrilled to get their children into the public school system. Into the charter school system. Because charter schools are better. And I'll tell you what, I'm guilty. We had a charter school system open up, and this is before I really thought about it. And it opened up, and my wife was, when the year it opened, she got my daughter in there. And my daughter was struggling in the public school and excelled in the charter school. She's now back in the public school system because when they get older and they get into high school, they no longer want to be in the charter school system. They want to be in public school. But anyway, she was in the charter school system and excelled. Okay. The charter schools are better than the public school systems right now. And the reason that is because they have to be. Okay, because it's supply and demand. Does that make sense? Okay, more people, the more there's a demand for these charter schools, the more charter schools they're going to allow. And before long, they're just going to eventually close down, shut down the public school system, and all of our schools are going to turn charter. Okay, and our public school system will then be run and controlled by corporations. And that scares me. When you're going to have corporations that's going to decide what your kids are learning, how your kids learn. And right now they're better, but I don't know that they're going to be better in the future. And if they want to teach homosexuality, they can teach homosexuality. You don't like it? Take your kid out of here. Take them to another school. Oh, guess what? We own all the rest of the schools in this town as well. So guess what? You don't have a choice. Your kid learns what we tell them to learn. That's it. You know, they want to teach creation, or they want to teach whatever they want. You don't have a choice, simply because they are no longer publicly owned schools. And people don't think this is going to happen. There was a school district, I think it was in the Midwest somewhere, that closed down 29 of their 60 schools because too many of their students were going to the public schools or to the charter school system in the suburbs. Now, I kind of wonder, out of those 29 schools that closed down, how many schools were going to be have been sold, How many of those schools have probably been sold to charter school companies that would reopen those campuses as charter schools? So it's not that the schools are no longer needed. It's just that they're run by different people. And if this doesn't scare people, I don't know what is. I'm telling you, right now, I think our country is in a world of hurt. I think we got situations like the public school systems. I think that they're in more indoctrination centers than anything else. I think with the illegal immigration, they want illegal immigration to bring our economy down and to create chaos. I think that they are pushing gay marriage for the simple purpose of deteriorating our society even worse, creating more chaos in our society. Okay, they have brought our economy to where it is today, right now, at 10% unemployment or 9.7 or whatever it changes monthly or every quarter, but to where our unemployment system is where it's at is the thing to get people a little desperate. And as time goes on, we're going to see 11, 12, 14% unemployment, 15%. And eventually we're going to be in a depression again because our economy is not getting better. Okay. And our banking system is getting bigger. Our war on Iraq is, there's just so much going on right now. That's all leading us to one place. It's leading us, I have to say, to a new world order. We're going to a globalized economy, globalized, here's an example. The past 25 years, they've spent time building logistics where you can manufacture in China and ship it here as cheap as you used to be able to manufacture it in California and ship it to Nevada. Okay? Have you ever been to the coast? Any ocean city, go to Los Angeles, go to Houston, Texas, go to New Orleans, and those ports are filled with container ships. Every one of those containers is an American job in China, okay? Every one of them are. Okay, they built a logistics system. They built information. Information is circling the globe. Goods are circling the globe. But I'm telling you, there's one thing that's not circling the globe that stops at the borders, and that's the money system. And that's what it all boils down to, why our economy is getting to where it is. They need, you keep them here talking about the a global problem. Well, they're going to need a global problem. They're going to need a globalized solution. Okay. Our show's coming to an end here, you guys. But anyway, in closing on this show, each show we're going to be talking about a little, we're going to probably pick a subject and we're going to be talking about it. It may be a, something that's going on in society that day. It may be, we may be talking about the war in Iraq. We may be talking about gay marriage. We may be talking about immigration. We may start talking about something at the beginning of the show and end it, at the end of the show, or and change it in the middle of the show, start talking about something else. If a caller calls in and wants to talk about something else, we'll talk about something else. But hopefully I'll put a show on here that you guys will listen to, you guys will enjoy. I hope you'll call in and argue with me. I hear you'll call up and fight with me, call up and agree with me. Whatever you feel, just call up and let me know you guys are out there. And if you want to email me after the show, it's the AlanDavisShow@gmail.com. That's the AlanDavisShow@gmail.com. And I've had a good time talking to you guys here tonight, and I apologize. I'm new at this, so I probably wasn't as professional as some of your talk show hosts, but that's it. Anyway, I'm out of here, so you guys have a nice night. Thank you very much. This is Alan Davis, and I'm signing off. So have a good night, you guys. Bye-bye.